You got the touch.
Stan Bush here, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the latest GeekCast Radio Network interview. This time around, this is going to be featured on all things Transformers and GeekCast Radio. I am your host, TF2 Mike, and joining me is the 35-year musical prodigy veterans, Mr. Stan Bush. Hello, sir. Can you believe it's been 35 years since you started your career?
Yeah, I guess it's been a while. How's it going?
It's going. And 2014 is the year of the Ultimates, because Stan's new album, The Ultimate, which drops on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2014. Did you plan it that way?
No, it just kind of worked out. I coordinated with the European partners, you know, that they were, the label mm-hmm. there, they were going to put it out. And that was the date they came up with, so we said, okay, that's the date.
Yeah, the sad thing is there's absolutely no green in this cover art at all.
Oh, you heard of me. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, so the last time I talked to you about the one of your albums was 2010's Dream the Dream. What has been going on with you since then? What have you I mean, I know normally you would tour, you know, for each album. When did the Dream the Dream tour start and end?
Well, the Dream to Dream, let's see, that album, around that time, I performed at the Transformers convention, and I guess it was 2009. That was actually the year before Dream to Dream, or the summer before. Since then, I've just mainly been performing around L.A. and doing, working on writing and recording the new album. It's been two or three, couple of years that we've been working on it, so my producer, Holger Pfaff, he and I have been working, recording and writing and so forth. And also, I teamed up once again with Lenny Macaluso, who I wrote The Touch with. You know, Lenny's great. We wrote a bunch of stuff together for the new album.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Awesome. Now, you've got the Ultimate has 11 tracks, two are previously released, and the other nine are all original to this album. The two that were previously released was the Heat of the Battle single and the Touch Power Mix. Are you always doing that? Are you always taking previous singles and throwing them on to the next albums?
Well, sometimes there's like, it seems like there's usually about three years or so between albums. And like Heat of the Battle was written 3 years ago, pretty much. That was...
2011.
So went ahead and put it up on the website, and we did a video and everything with it. It was sort of between albums. We decided to release a single or two just to kind of keep the momentum going. The other one that you mentioned, the Touch Power Mix, is in the last Transformers game, Transformers Fall of Cybertron. So. Yeah. That was sort of the reason we put that one out. In a partnership deal with Hasbro, they agreed to allow us to release a music video containing footage from the game. So anyway, that came out over the holidays. So
yep.
Yeah, it's on my website, so stanbush.com.
Very cool. So what was the process, or what was the feeling coming off of Dream the Dream going into writing for this one? Most of your themes are upbeat music and, you know, good messages and everything else, and that's a great thing that you do, but what was it between, because Dream the Dream had a lot of slow songs on it, and this one has maybe one or two, because I've listened to this last, I don't know, 2 days since I got it. So what was the process in going from the Dream the Dream to the choices you made for this album for songs?
Yeah, you're right. This one rocks more for sure. It's just kind of came out that way. I wanted to make the best record I could. You know, it's just one of those things. It's always hard to write good songs, and that's why if you take the time and you really put the energy in, you know, it works out well in that regard. The the Dream the Dream album, I was happy with that one too, but this one I think is even better. But let's see, one of the songs, Thunder in Your Heart, was a song that was released back in the late 80s, and it was in a film called Rad. Anyway, my partner, Lenny Macaluso, my co-writer, he wrote that with this other person, and it was in that movie. And then what happened was we did a music video, I'm sorry, a commercial. It was for a beer commercial for Australia, Carlton's, was it Carlton's Draft? Yeah, I think so. And anyway, they needed to replace, the original singer was John Farnham, and I guess they were having problems with Farnham's manager or something like that. So they asked me to sing a new version for the commercial. And I was like, wow, this is a great song. So decided to go ahead and record it for the new album. So we did a full version after we had done the commercial. So that's how that song came about. And the title song, The Ultimate, Lenny and I wrote that one, as well as Unstoppable. Unstoppable, we did a cool patriotic music video. That's on my website as well. That's just released too last week. So it's called Unstoppable, and it's a song about, it's very uplifting. And you kind of hit it on the head with that that positive, uplifting, go for it, sort of believe in yourself kind of deal. It's, I don't know how that, I think the touch was the beginning of that stuff for me, and it seemed like it just kind of stuck. It's like, to me, it's like, I don't know, I just have this really optimistic view of humanity, and I think we have amazing amount of power that we don't even realize, you know, that you can make, you basically make your own reality in the world. And I mean, I've had a good run. I've had a great career, and singing a lot of big stuff and films and TV and commercials and whatnot, and making a bunch of records. It's very cool. It's, to me, it's like, I don't know, I'd rather sing about something positive and you know what I mean? And just try to be a force for good in the world, you know, as much as possible.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, some of the other tracks on here, let's see. So, you know, you mentioned Stand in the Fire, Thunder in Your Heart. I also like The Journey. I actually did an experiment with this album as far as how I listened to it. I listened to it all 11 tracks straight through. Mm-hmm. And then I took out Heat of the Battle and The Touch because I had already heard them.
You already knew those songs.
I already knew those songs. So I wanted to hear the album without them, because when I imported this into my iTunes and I created the playlist for just this album, I didn't even really look at the track listing that well. So I'm sitting here listening to this, and I listen to the first two songs, and I'm like, okay, this is cool, you know, Something to Believe in, The Ultimate, that good, slightly different, and that's good for what you had did on Dream the Dream for the first two tracks. And then I get to Heat of the Battle, I'm like, hey, wait a second, I heard this already. So what I did was I unselected Heat of the Battle and The Touch just to see how the album would play without them. And it plays really well. But at the same time, now that I've heard it all the way through with all 11, I'm like, okay, well, I'll leave them in. Because it does make a whole package, but I was just like, I don't know what I was expecting out of this. I was expecting something that was, you know, that stayed true to your style, which it does, and something that was slightly different. I don't know if I would. I might actually try this next time. I might put Heat of the Battle at the end with The Touch to see how well. I don't know. It's just a play around thing for me.
I guess it changes your perspective if you already know the song. It's funny because I hadn't listened to Heat of the Battle in a long time, like, you know, like a year or two, and then I put it on. It's like, wow, this thing rocks, you know. And
It is a very good song. Yeah, it is a very, very good song.
We remastered it too, so it's pretty slamming, you know, and it really adds to the album. But yeah, I'm really happy with the whole Stand in the Fire, like, totally rocks, and it's a cool thing. I really like it. The other thing too that I do a lot of times in songs is change keys, like, so it doesn't stay sort of the same key all the way through, like the chorus will lift and change into a different sort of modulate, you know, and I like that. I think it's effective. It kind of, it makes it, to me, musically more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think, and I know I just said I've been listening to this thing for 2 days, and you'd think I'd know off the top of my head. I think, is it in the Ultimate that you have kind of the military march, or is it in Unstoppable?
No, it has, you're right, the Ultimate has the military
okay.
march thing at the end, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was great. I was like, there's something I was not expecting at all out of that song. I started listening to it, and I'm like, okay, this, hey, wait a second.
Yeah. No, thank you. That's a really cool thing. Like, back in the 70s, I remember they would be like, songs, first of all, every song wouldn't be 3 minutes long, 3 or 4 minutes long. Back then, you'd have 5 minute, 6 minute songs, and sometimes they would go off and do some trippy musical thing or like cool segues. Music was more sort of open, you know, then, and I really miss that, you know. You can do kind of cool little interlude things and you know, trippy things that make a song special, you know, and I like that.
Now there is, and I don't. You'll have to remind me here, because again, I don't remember which track it was on. But there's a track on here where your voice sounds like you're talking through an auto tuner. Now I know you don't use auto tune and you don't like auto tune, but what track was that? You did something.
Oh, it's weird. I know, it sounds like a loudspeaker, like a megaphone. It's that was on Memory of You, and that's. Yeah, that's like a futz effect. They call it in film and whatever they call it. That's the word. It's futz. It's like, it sounds like a megaphone. You're basically you talk. Yeah, that's that was a kind of a cool effect. Like the guy's dreaming about this girl, and anyway, it made kind of a neat thing and a break. It was like a breakdown kind of part in the song.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was, again, it's something I was not expecting out of you, because to me, because we've all seen what auto-tuners do, you know, and auto-tune, in my mind, is probably one of the worst things musicians can do nowadays, but it's a gimmick, and sometimes people need gimmicks. But I heard that, and I was like, whoa, wait a second here. let's talk about the album art. It's basically, how did you come up with this design for the album,
created,
or who did? Yeah,
that was created by this artist in Italy. He's really good. Nello is his first name. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Del Omo or something like that. But anyway, Nello's great. He came up with, the artwork and created it and everything. But yeah, he's, trying to remember the name of his company. Anyway, but it's you can look on the album cover. But yeah, he's absolutely great. He came up with this album cover design. It was like, whoa! It's like, yes. So I immediately loved it. So he's a good friend too.
Now you've got the sky in here. You've got the eagle, which is kind of funny because you mentioned the eagle in a couple of the songs. And is this cover supposed to be like a sequel to Dream the Dream? Because I noticed that you use red again, and you also use, I don't know if it's the same character model, but it almost looks like, I'm looking at the Dream the Dream cover and the Ultimate cover, it almost looks like it's the same woman in that red cloth.
Yeah, it's
a red
dress. The same guy did both covers.
Oh, okay.
So it might be a style thing pertaining to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does. It has a really neat look to it. It's sort of like surreal.
Mm-hmm. It is very surreal. Yeah, it is very surreal because it's not just like at first when I first looked at this at a distance, I was like, okay, she's in a house. And then I looked at it close up. I'm like, oh no, that's a road. That's like going from outside, going from inside out. I was like, oh wow, that is so cool.
Yeah. And if you look closely, I think the girl is Asian.
Oh, is she?
I believe.
Yeah, she might be.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. What are the plans for promoting the Ultimate right now?
Well, I'm going to do in Chicago October 3rd. There's a festival called Melodic Rock Fest, and I'm going to be performing at that in Chicago. October 3rd is the night I perform. It's a weekend-long festival with several bands, but anyway, that'll be the Friday night that I'm headlining that night. So that's coming up, and then there's a possibility of a show in L.A. here in the summer, but I can't tell you anything definitive about that until
I know what that is. I already know what show it is in L.A.
Yeah, I think you know. But I can't say yet.
Yeah,
I may know like in the next couple of days. Even you know, it's like it's gonna come down pretty quick.
Right.
I will let you know.
Would you be doing Heat of the Battle there, or would you be doing Unstoppable, or what?
Probably both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, those people normally call you up. Do they specifically ask for the certain theme songs of those I'm trying to dance around this so you don't have to add, because I know who it is. do you give them a set list, or do they request certain things out of you?
No, I can do whatever songs I want. But one thing I definitely could not perform anywhere, anytime without doing is The Touch. I would be tarred and feathered if I didn't do The Touch.
yeah, probably so. All right, so outside of those shows, what else is coming up for you?
Let's see. Basically just promoting the album. I've been doing a lot of interviews, and the reviews are really good on it. In Europe, it's the pre-sales have gone well, and everything's going great. My European partner, it's through Melodic Rock Records, and melodicrock.com is this famous website, pretty much the go-to site for this kind of music, melodic rock music, you know, in the world. And this guy Andrew McNeese is he's the one who I've kind of partnered with in this whole venture for the overseas stuff, you know. And of course, it's in the U.S. It's out on LA Records, my own label. So,
yeah.
But it's going good. Everything's, like I say, the release is tomorrow with St. Patrick's Day. Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. All right. How is the release happening? Are you putting it just on your website, or I assume you'd put it on iTunes, or how is that working for you?
Yeah, it's through CD Baby, and iTunes. It's on iTunes. A number of independent sites are also going to be listing it for sale, and of course, it's available on my website, stenbush.com.
Right, right.
And of course on iTunes.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. What's next after promoting The Ultimate?
Well, we'll just see what happens. Like I say, I'm going to continue to perform and record and write. It's sort of one of those things where, you know, if it's in your blood, you have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
but it's going great. Life is good. You know, I got no complaints.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I'm still waiting for that, recreation for Dare.
Oh yeah.
Alright, you can check out The Ultimate on Stan Bush's website, stanbush.com. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook. All the links will be in the post for the interview. Stan, thanks so much. I'll ask you to hold the line, and I'll be back after this.
your true destiny, a burning need. Deep in your soul, you're yearning to break free, run endlessly. You search for so long, a lifetime of waiting is taking you home. The power's away.
In the heat of the fight, reaching for something that's deep inside. You know there's no glory if you don't take the chance. Risk it all just to join in the dance. Hear the call.
There you go, folks. That was Stan Bush here on the Geekcast Radio Network once again here in 2014. His new album, The Ultimate, hits on March 17th, 2014. Go get it, folks. It's rocking. It's awesome. I'm TFG and Mike. Unleash the geek in you.
You got the time.